Oh, here he comes! Minister!
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 How are you? Minister, answer, how's your wife?
Answer the question, Minister!
Counterclockwise, thanks to scoop.co.nz.
Are you there, Selwyn?
Yeah, hi John, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, sadly, France are not out of the World Cup, which is what we kind of hoped, well, I hoped for last week in a joking fashion. So, it's been a bit of a big week here. Tell us about it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, this big fiasco that occurred last Friday, you know, I know it's last week's news in a sense, but there is a lot going on right now, and I thought, John, it's really important for us to have a look at exactly what is going on here. First off, you know, I'm sure many, many of your listeners were caught up in that debacle down there on the waterfront on Friday.
Yeah.
Many of them will know firsthand exactly what went on. Many of them will know how difficult it was for, you know, people to get around. The problems, obviously, are all in the areas of management of, you know, the events management and also the transport management. But my emphasis today, John, is going to look at the governance aspects, and those are people like Murray McCulley, the Mayor Len Brown, but significantly Murray McCulley here. Now, as Minister for Rugby World Cup, Murray McCulley and also Transport Minister Stephen Joyce have overseen this whole show. You know, that they are ultimately accountable. If you look at the pecking order, Len Brown comes down beneath them. You know, the Minister of the Rugby World Cup is the one that sits on top. If things went great, he would be the one standing there taking a bow and saying thank you for all the applause. So when things go awry, he should be the one that basically walks out in front of the public and says, yep, we stuffed up and we've got to fix it. The problem being is that all of these assurances that were given by Murray McCulley and also Stephen Joyce, the Minister of Transport, you've got to look at, you know, I've got to give credit to Phil Goff here, actually, his speech in the House yesterday, and it's also addressed in the New Zealand Herald today by John Armstrong, a very respected political analyst that they have had for years. And he points out that, you know, this thing that Goff said in the House yesterday, he says, I accepted their assurances that everything was fine. I believe John Key when he said everything was in place. It was not in place. Mm. Why was it? We were told by Stephen Joyce that there were contingency plans in place for the transport system. Why was that the case? There were no contingency plans. You know, and that kind of statement, you know, you've got to give credit where credit's due. It honed in on exactly what went on here. We were told for the last few months by this government, by the Prime Minister down to McCulley, that everything was great, the plans were well advanced, it was going to go swimmingly, and it was going to be a showcase for New Zealand, you know, with all of those people that were watching it from around the world. That's all fine. The showbiz was all great. What a fantastic kind of event it was, obviously, at Eden Park with the opening ceremony and the game, of course. The fireworks displays around the city, fantastic. Yeah. You know, you could see them from everywhere. But the actual nuts and bolts of it, this government took its eye off that, you know, it took its eye off... eye off the ball here, and that has been telling, and they have not yet adequately fronted up to that responsibility.
And I think Phil Goff, he said something in Parliament as well. He said that that we're really lucky that no one was killed down there, because that was crush situation. I mean, I wasn't down there. I was sick on Friday, and you know what? I'm kind of glad I was, because I really didn't want to go down. And I actually said to my, you could see it coming. Everyone I spoke to, even people from up here, you know, and we're not traditionally rugby people up here, but everyone was like, right, party, we're going down. And everyone was, and we're going to get hammered. And my wife says to me, shall we take our little boy? And I said, no way. There is no way I'm taking my little boy down there. And I said to her, there's going to be at least 150,000 people down there.
Yeah, you had your finger on the pulse of those numbers.
Well, how is it that I can tell this, and yet the people in governance can't? I'm sure I'm not the only one that thought that.
Everybody, I would guess, everybody listening to this would be able to put their hand on heart and say, I could have done a better job of actually managing all of that transport and the event than what was, you know, in evidence from this whole thing. These guys are paid cumulatively millions of dollars to actually do this right. They didn't do it right. And we're not just moaning here either. Let's look at this. You know, so many people needed to use the trains to get to the venue. Mm. Also, over the last 2 years, so many millions of dollars have been put into making sure that those train stations can actually have people disembarking fast into Eden Park. Mm. You look at it around Kingsland, lots of money's gone into that. We all also know that Auckland Transport, that is headed by, by Mark Ford, who is a well-respected CEO of Watercare, but also of Auckland Transport. He's the chair of the board of, you know, the CCO there. He's also the pick of the National Party and the ACT Party to actually do that job. Now, someone there needs to take, you know, responsibility for why the provider of the train service, this French outfit, was only provided a contract to ferry 15,000 people out of downtown Auckland around what the Prime Minister calls Party Central. Yeah. 15,000? 2,000 don't get there. You know, it's too late to give them tickets to that, you know, to the semi-finals to try and buy their support back again. This is terrible stuff. The other thing was, as a contingency, they only had 31 buses on standby to ferry people out. Now, we all know, and this is something that colleague Duncan Garner said on 3 News this morning. He said, 33 buses is about how much you get for a big high school to get them to the movies for a day out, you know, let alone what was down there. And you're right, how dangerous was it for all those kids, those families down there on the waterfront? Where's the aspect of the police crowd control here? You know, the police have gone into hiding on this one while the council takes a hit, and the strategies, I've got to say, the strategies that Murray McCulley has put out here are reminiscent of beehive politics kind of strategies. They don't wash up here in Auckland. You know, to ponce up here and say, we're taking over the waterfront here because your council has let us all down. That's basically what his message was, even if he didn't verbalise it. That's what his actions kind of spelled out. Yeah. Well, it doesn't wash. You know, this guy is hardly convincing. He's on the television. He looks hesitant. He looks like a stunned possum in the headlights. Is that going to actually breathe confidence into the whole population that he's going to get it right? And not in my book, it doesn't.
Well, I've got to say, and I've had a text here, it says that they're sick of concentrating on the negatives of the Rugby World Cup opening, and you know, you said that you don't want to... And I've got to say, I was sitting at home and I was completely... You know, I'm not into rugby, but you could feel this vibe and it was great, and, you know, and I was sitting at home and I was kind of really proud that I'm associated, that my little boy is a Kiwi, that my wife is a Kiwi. I was really happy for everybody. And I was watching it all unfold, this just all starting to unravel, and I was gutted. I was really gutted because I really wanted it to go off. So to the texter who's saying I'm sick of concentrating on the negatives, it's kind of like, look, I don't want to, but this is something that needs to be addressed, isn't it?
You know, I'll address directly to the person who texted, you know, apologies for making some sort of negative comment relating to this, but actually people do need, you know, people in power, people that are given the job to actually run this right, do need to be challenged on such things. Mm. You know, there's a whole culture around this audience here at BFM that has critically analyses issues, and that's what we're doing here. Yeah. And they would be getting off scot-free without actually fronting up if we didn't actually challenge them on these types of things. They are elected people to do a job. They govern. They're the bosses of the whole show, and they didn't actually do the job right. For McCulley to come in now, I tell you, John, the all eyes are on McCulley's performance from here on to the final. You know, if he splits up, he's had it. He's already lost a ministerial portfolio back in the 1990s, his tourism portfolio. He lost that arguably because he was micromanaging. He wasn't governing. He jumped the constitutional divide, went in boots and all, and started telling them how to actually run their tourism outfit. And he lost his portfolio for that. All eyes are on McCulley now. They're watching, and he better actually step up here, obviously, or he's going to be political dog tucker.
You know what? I kind of felt like it was a little bit like shutting the stable door after the horse has bolted, because I mean I'll make another prediction now. I wish I'd made this prediction on air just so it was set in stone, but there's not going to be 200,000 people, there's not going to be 150,000 people down there this week, because the big event was last Friday. And maybe if New Zealand were to go on and win the tournament, then Murray McCulley will get tested. But if they fail, I don't think he's going to get tested in the way that that we would hope, really, you know?
You know, and there's another thing. you know, it is so precious of the central government, the Beehive, to actually appropriate blame onto Auckland Council on this one. This particular elected council has been saying week on week since it was elected, and also when it was campaigning, we need better public transport systems in Auckland, and central government's taking our taxes. It needs to cough up that money to develop it. This government has reneged on its own campaign policy in 2008 that said we will have a PPP or public-private partnership arrangement that develops infrastructure. It hasn't done squat up here in Auckland. It's about time it did. People are sick of it. It's politicised up here in Auckland now. They're taking on Auckland from the Wellington end. I say bring it on, as they say in the world stage. You know, and let's see what happens.
All right. Well, look, Selwyn, once again, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I really appreciate your insight. And just again to say, we're not wanting to criticize. I wish we weren't criticizing, but we kind of have to. That's our job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's our job. Yeah. And it was a great game. The games that have been played, these sports people are fantastic. That whole opening ceremony, you got to stand
fantastic.
Back and be proud and clap it. Yeah. You know, the fireworks display was fantastic. Look at those waka all coming in, yeah. You know, on the afternoon on a beautiful sunny spring day. That's all fantastic stuff. And you've got to actually, you know, put credit where credit's due. We were let down by McCulley, by the Prime Minister in a sense. And, you know, he could have said a kia ora at the beginning of his speech for sure in the opening thing. But, you know, we've got to keep that finger on the pulse of this McCulley guy. I'm not convinced he's the man with the answers here.
Yeah, and just one other thing, that mass hacker at the opening ceremony, wow, that just... Now I'm getting shivers up my spine thinking about it. It's fantastic. Anyway, Selwyn, once again, adieu until next week, my friend.
Okay, mate. Thank
Lovely.
You.
See you.